don't want to see you coming back in here with fucking junkies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained junkies.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the so-called Weaker Podcast, Balls.ie's weekly GEA podcast. We're back. We couldn't make it last week. The recording equipment got frozen. We were swimming in snow, trying to get into the office. Gavin made it. Fair play to him, but he had nobody to talk to.
I was sitting here by myself.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
Mark didn't bother.
No, I didn't bother. Oh, Jesus Christ almighty.
It was snowing out. There was no GEA to talk about, sure. There was nothing. We may as well pretend that nothing happened, and this is last week.
There were milk machines frozen, there were cows calving everywhere, and... Well, I wasn't helping out with any of that either, but I was so worried listening to it that yeah, I couldn't have time to talk with GAA.
It was no time last week to talk about the so-called weaker counties, which is what we do here on this podcast, in case it's the first time you're listening. I'm joined by Gavin Cooney and Mark Farley, as always.
How are you?
I'd like to blame the GAA for our podcast having to be called off, because surely they could have done something with the snow. Could they not have roofed the country?
I've been following the GAA for... I don't want to give away my elder age here, but a good 5 years.
Easily the youngest person in this room.
And they still aren't able to control the weather.
No.
It's a disgrace.
They've done nothing about it. Yeah. Nothing about it. And they have a new president in now, and I don't even think he brought it up in his manifesto.
All attempts to control the weather has yet to pass through Congress.
And not to mention, system. What are they doing playing games in winter?
I know. It's a disgrace. And in the summer then as well, when cyclage needs to be cut and people are trying to go away on holidays.
And they're playing in the summer too.
As well, yeah. Can anyone confirm... if the Auburn Cup, John Heston wanted to play the Auburn Cup final as a snowball fight on the Westmead border.
Did you be lucky to get enough snow for that now?
Did that go ahead in the end?
I don't know. It hasn't been reported anyway, but maybe that's the lack of dignity that the Auburn Cup deserves.
I have a prediction. The 2018 Auburn Cup will fade from... our knowledge, our memories, and everything about it, and no final will ever be played, but no announcements will ever be made about it.
Oh, I have a thing. This video I was watching actually back from, it was Julian Simmons, you know, ITV, Julian Simmons, Coronation Street, Deirdre Barlow, I don't know, whatever his continuity
But now, nay so. On the ATV.
Nay on the ATV. Deirdre and Gail Platt are fighting. What's going to happen? But in 1981, he was reading out the sports results, and the McKenna Cup semi-final was being played on the same day as the Leinster Senior Football Championship final.
What?
Yes, listen.
Now the Sunday evening sport results, and we begin as usual with a look at today's GAA results. McKenna Cup semi-final, Antrim 210, Down 1-9. Leinster Football final, Offaly 118, Leash 3-9. Minor final, Dublin 1-8, Meath 9 points. Connaught under 21 semi-final, Galway 3-11, Sligo 7 points. Gallan Cup semi-final, Galway 1-9, Sligo 1-4. Now look in detail at some of those games, and first that shock defeat of newly crowned Ulster champions Down in the McKenna Cup semi-final at Casement Park. They were well beaten by Antrim after taking the gamble of resting three of their key players. Down couldn't compete with Antrim's strong midfield. The goals that clinched victory came in the second half from Mick Cunningham and Kevin Goff. Antrim meet Armagh in the final. Meanwhile, Down's opponents in the All-Ireland semi-final will be Offaly.
Sorry, let's talk about that insane fixture list in a second, but Julian became a lot more Ulstery over the years, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He had a very kind of Queen's English voice in 1981.
He was hardened after the Good Friday Agreement.
I wouldn't say he was mad into the GEA.
No, I thought it was going to be one of them, you know, the, what's his name?
Mr.
Jackie
Cooper.
Fullerton used to do the BBC Northern Ireland ones, so they had to kind of say it. It was like, you know, he'd be saying, you know, Antrim, 3 goals and 4 points, Derry, 1 goal and 10 points. So well done to whoever won that one.
So the Alberta McKenna Cup semi-final was played on the same day as the Leinster Senior Championship final.
And there was nobody on Twitter back in 1981 giving out about fixture congestion and player burnout. Anyway, should we talk about...
So there was no qualifiers back then, though. But Mark, we have to tell you people what's coming up on the show first.
All right.
We are going. It's a massive weekend in hurling, right? So it's the last round of games. So there's a huge amount of teams that have massive promotion relegation games. So we'll be talking about a lot of them, but we're also going to specifically talk about Kerry, who play. They go to Westmeath. They had a huge win over Meath 2 weeks ago now, and they go to Westmeath. If they win that, they're in a playoff to get back into Division 1, 1B. So that's huge. And Gavin, you've set up an interview with a guy called John Tweak Griffin.
Yeah, my get this week, Mark, is the man with Gavin probably the best nickname that we've had on the podcast so far.
Tweak is the number one nickname so
far.
Yeah,
Tweak. Played with Kerry for 15 years, took his leave this year. I think he announced his retirement the same week as Colm Cooper, and sadly Cooper got slightly more exposure because, well, let's face it, there's too many media outlets there not covering the so-called Weaker podcast, so-called Weaker County, should I say. So yeah, John is going to join us to talk about all Kerry hurling. He's involved in the development of hurling now as well, so we'll hear about the challenges Kerry face, what's going to happen in the future, and more importantly, we're going to give out about the GAA's latest obsession with discriminating based on geography, because under the new two-tier system, the second-tier cup, the Joe McDonagh Cup, Leinster team, they get promoted straight away. But if it's won by a non-Leinster team, which is Kerry, they have to go through a playoff against whoever finishes bottom of the Munster Championship. So that and more is all to come.
Joke. None of the Munster teams can get relegated, you see, you know, because there'd be holy war. So
nonsense.
Of course, Martin McHugh thought that John Tweak Griffin was overrated. Two-trick pony.
Yeah. Yeah. On the two-trick pony thing, a Kerry man in a bar, because that's where they're always found, perfectly tore that argument to shreds.
Just in case we get any defamation lawsuits coming in from the county of Kerry as a whole, you will not find all Kerry people in a bar.
No, sorry, I should clarify. This is where they dispense their pearls of wisdom. And a Kerry man at the bar apparently said, Cooper's a two-trick pony. Well, if those tricks are putting the ball over the bar and scoring goals, then yeah, he probably is.
So, we're going to get to all that. We'll talk about the big games in the hurling. We'll talk about, we'll go through all the three divisions in the football, the only three divisions that matter. And before all that, Mark is going to bring us around the weaker counties.
Well, my journey around the weaker counties this week, lads, has been cut short because basically the roads are all snowed in and I got stuck, so I didn't get around any counties. In fact, I was stuck in my own house. I couldn't even walk to the shops, lads. But really what happened is, I don't know, I can't remember if there were many match reports sent in via Twitter, but I couldn't find them because it's a week and a half ago and we get a lot of mentions. So I couldn't go through it this week, but I've got a few from WhatsApp, and they're very important WhatsApps indeed. First of all, we've got Offaly footballer Cian Johnson. Now, Cian is, his was very straight up. He was just saying that he was delighted. He said, very good show, lads. Nice round of everything. As a Division 3 footballer, I would definitely like to see it get more coverage. So thanks very much for that, Cian. Very genuine thing. But we've got another guy in. Two lads, really. Two friend of the shows, you might say. As we described Sean, and he was
friends
a friend of the show.
Now,
Mr. Broderick's
anyway.
Also a friend of the show, yep. Yeah. Sean Gannon, friend of the show. Already, I would say that because Gannon was already a friend of the show.
No, but you said friend of the shows, and I'm saying they're friends of the show.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, for the love of God, leave me alone. Sean Gannon and Paul Broderick were obviously playing for Carlow against Waterford 2 weeks ago. And they sent us in a WhatsApp match report. This is exactly the kind of thing we want in this. We want match reports all the better if they actually come from the players themselves. Here's how they felt they got on during the game against Waterford.
Friend of the show, Sean Gannon here, just on the bus back from Carriganore after a tough game in the NFL Division 4 with Waterford. I'm here joined by Paul Broderick, Carlo Talisman. Of course, this course is sponsored by Autoimage Carlo, Paul, as you know, for all your Renault and Dacia needs. Yeah. Just Paul, what do you think of the game there?
I thought, you know, it was a tough game. Waterford a good side, and there was a win going down the pitch, which we had in the second half. Didn't make use of, you know, let Waterford back into the game, and ended up very tight, Sean.
It did end up tight, and there was a bit of there was blue murder near the end, was there?
There was. If it was to give it any colour, I'd call it blue. It was, you know, it was absolutely, it was tomfoolery, if I'm going to be honest about it.
Tomfoolery, that's right. Probably a step up from the handbags we normally see.
Yeah, that's you'd almost call it a melee, only I suppose a bit of sense intervened, you know, and I suppose no one went home, Revan went home, no one went to hospital or anything like that.
Thanks very much for the insight, Paul. Keep up the good work, lads. We'll be listening again during the week.
That's absolutely magnificent.
Isn't
thanks,
it brilliant?
Thanks to the lads for sending that
That's
in.
Great. I really enjoy it. Like, I mean, you wouldn't see that from a Division 1 team, huh?
No.
You wouldn't see a Dublin lad sending you that in. And,
also, I got loads of information there that I wanted. So it was obviously very funny and very enjoyable. But also, I'm glad to know that Carlo are still, you know, they might not be quite at 100%, but they're, as predicted by Mick, 4 from 4.
Yeah, and exactly. And to borrow a rugby phrase, which I'm going to vomit after I say it, they seemed to have plenty of work-ons after that Waterford game as well. It was a solid win, but they had plenty to improve on.
Plenty of work-ons. More match reports from divisions 2, 3, and 4 and all of the hurling divisions as well, please.
Yeah.
Now, can we talk a little bit about Division 4 coverage?
Yeah, I was going to say, when you're on that point, because I just want to talk about Division 4 before we leave it, about the League Sunday, which is another issue I had because it's gone off the RT player now. And if we had the podcast last week, we would have had the clip, but I can't play it now. Was Colm O'Rourke and his analysis of Division 4 and the league results that were there two weekends ago. And basically, Colm's analysis was, well, yep, there's a lot of Leinster counties down there, but really, Dublin, same old story. Dublin will hammer everyone and they'll walk Leinster and that's the way it'll be. Laois, I suppose, are down there. They wouldn't want to be down there, but they're doing well. And it was just like, what has Dublin got to do with anything in Division 4? Like, how in the name of God in your analysis of the Division 4 results?
This is what? So Michael Lister threw a Division 4
table
grenade into the last 30 seconds of the show.
He said, a lot of Leinster teams down there, column. So he was kind of pointing out that there are a lot of Leinster teams. Just for the record, there are 3 Leinster teams in Division 4, which when you consider the amount of team or counties in Leinster, is probably an average enough amount. It's not like there's some sort of crisis in Leinster. How have we got so many teams in Division 4? I don't know why this, and I wouldn't mind, like, it's very disrespectful as well to Carlow, given that they've won 4 games and Laois have won 4 games. And Laois seem to do all right, but Carlow and Wicklow apparently are in crisis.
And the only lens that they're able to discuss this through is Dublin's dominance of the Leinster Championship.
Yeah, Dublin are going to hammer
which
everyone.
Then they're going to splash all over TV and market pretty well as opposed to the league.
I don't know. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Fair play to you for going all in on the Colm O'Rourke impression. I definitely appreciate it. The annoying thing about this is, and I you don't expect these lads to be able to watch all these games and to have all the talking points, and, you know, God knows we don't either. I mean, there just isn't enough real estate, I guess, among media companies to cover all of these games, and that's completely understandable. But there are stories there, and there's good stories there, and all you're getting is a table, and how you bring Dublin into it and talk about the fact that it's irrelevant. These are Division 4 teams. What difference does it make what they are against Dublin? Carlow are possibly their best team ever, and they're 4 from 4 in Division 4. It's absolutely unbelievable, and they've got a great chance of promotion. They're nearly odds on favourites for promotion at this stage. How do you not say that in a positive manner?
The most frustrating thing about this is that if any of these Division 4 teams then do play Dublin in the Championship, RT will look at their league, maybe Sunday Game or whatever.
It's a fair point. It's RT GEA pundits in a standard kind of way. But it's as much them as it is the organisation of RT.
And they'll only use league status. Oh, it's a Division 4 team against a Division 1 team. What would you expect? But, like, what is the point in the GEA if you're only going to use the Division 4, the lower leagues, to analyse what's happening at the top?
The other thing is, I don't think you need to, like, we'll do that a lot here, I suppose, here. So it's like, you don't have to be an expert in this. You can just ask questions. You could just, like the analysis could be, lads, do you know what I actually know was there on whatever it was, 25th of February? Like, lads, today, Limerick got absolutely hammered by Leitrim. What's going on with Limerick? Like, and they don't have to answer. Colm O'Rourke could even answer that question. Go to Division 4, because, you know what, actually, Michael, what really interests me here is what's happened in Limerick. Bottom of Division 4. There's a great article in The Sun last week from Gordon Manning, and he was pointing out that in 2007, back when the league was still like Division 1A, Division 1B, Division 2A and 2B, Limerick were in Division 1A. Donegal won that league by winning every single game bar Limerick. They drew at Limerick. Limerick lost to Dublin by a point, I think, in it. So, like, where is this in the space of 11 years? They've gone from in Division 1A competing, drawing with the eventual Division 1 champions to bottom of Division 4.
Beaten,
ask the question. Beaten
like double scores, 218-19 to Leitrim, who we were delighted. We had a great chat about Leitrim with Seamus O'Rourke on the last podcast, and I mean, it's brilliant for them, and their kind of schizo scoring continues that Gavin is obsessed with in the 4 games in the league so far. But it's sad to see Limerick. I remember watching that Limerick team that you were talking about that had such a good league. They came about maybe, I would say,
possibly 3 years, it could have even been four, where they came so close to beating Kerry in the championship. And I remember them playing them in an All-Ireland quarter-final in Croke Park. And other than for a Darren O'Sullivan back-heeled goal, that would have been a very close game. You know, like that's... That was a team on the cusp. That they're where Tipperary are now. And to see them slide so bad, where they play Waterford this week, and the two teams are on 1 point in the league, and, you know, whoever loses that game is going to be find it very hard to get off the bottom of the table and be the worst team in Ireland.
Yeah, we will answer this question at some stage on the podcast. Yeah,
exactly. That's what
if you are a Limerick, you're a Limerick GA fan listening, a Limerick football fan, do get in touch.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's all I have to say. Like, I mean, it's... It doesn't necessarily have to be, oh, I watched the game and I thought that Limerick's kickouts weren't strong enough or whatever it is. It can be more sort of a general conversation about the teams in Division 4 rather than Dublin going to walk Leinster.
Yeah. The other scores there, Laois are kind of, as we said, they are looking very comfortable there. Again, like up there with Carlow, they beat Wicklow by 116 to 10 points. Leitrim beat Limerick, as we said. Carlow beat Waterford by 3 points. And Antrim had away win in London. But they're the other contender for promotion there. It's basically between Antrim, Carlow and Laois for the two spots. Antrim are on 7 points. Carlow and Laois are 4-4 on 8. This weekend, Limerick play Waterford, as we mentioned. London play Laois in Ruislip, and Carlow play Wicklow. Antrim are not playing, or Leitrim. They played each other earlier in the league. There's a kind of a confusing fixture mess up here because of the week off and London and Paddy's Day that Mark's going to explain.
Yeah, well, I think. Am I? Well, basically, there's meant to be a week off, obviously, in the football. But London and Laois are playing this weekend instead of next weekend. So next weekend, there are only meant to be three games. But because the games have been postponed, Limerick's playing Waterford, Carlow's playing Wicklow, and Antrim and Leitrim can't play this weekend because they were due to play London and Laois, respectively, or Laois and London. But because them games are on.
Consider that wrapped up.
Yep.
nothing to add there, Gavin.
No, no, nothing.
I think we should get on to...
bow to Mark's knowledge of fixtures.
It's back once again by a Noel McGrath. Back once again, it comes here to the number two. Back once again to Conor Loftus. Back once again through one market to another. But back once again. Back once again there to Brian Stack. One back once again here. Once again to Philly McMahon this time. There's a chance for Mayo now just to build it from the back once again. Back once again towards Hero Kilkenny. Back once again.
Okay, I think we'll get on to some hurling because it is a massive weekend in the hurling league. As I said, so many promotion and relegation battles going on. One of the biggest games, though, is in Mullingar, where Kerry will visit Westmeath, who are top of the division, having won 4-4. Kerry had a big win over Meath 2 weeks ago. They are now on 6 points, 3 wins from 4. If they win this weekend, they are in a playoff against either Westmeath or Carlow to qualify back into Division 1. It's been an interesting couple of years for Kerry Hurling, winning the 2015 Christy Ring Cup. They've played in Division, they qualified for 1B in the league a couple of times as well, and are just a lot more on our radar than they had been in previous years. Somebody that's been through all of the ups and downs of Kerry is John Tweet Griffin, who played for Kerry for 15 years before retiring last year. He was there for all the ups and downs, the two Christy Ring Cup wins, and of course even the drop into Division 3 at the end of the last decade. Now, John, as I mentioned, Kerry Hurling, a lot more high profile than it's been, but how much more successful has it been in the last couple of years?
I suppose in 2015, I think we won Division 2 of the National Hurling League. I know we won Division 2 the year before in 2014, but Offaly beat us a week later, so we didn't go up to Division 1B. So I think in 2015, after winning 2A and then beating Westmeath actually a week later and going up to 1B for the first time in many years, was one of the biggest things to happen to Kerry Hurling in many years. And then I suppose later that year, we kind of went on to win the Christy Ring, like, but it was only our second time winning the Christy Ring. So I think the big thing really was for the demographics of the team and for the team itself to go up to Division 1B to go up to the likes of, I suppose, Limerick and Galway and the Offalys of this world. They are the games we wanted to play, and that's where Kerry hurling kind of we had aspired to be over a period of 3 or 4 years there. We were trying to maybe win a Christy Ring and get up through the divisions, but we struggled at times. But so finally that year we got over the line, shall we say, and I think it was just one of those things. We got probably a little bit extra exposure and extra probably publicity at that time, because I know it can be a little bit tougher sometimes in the so-called lower divisions. Probably you don't get as much exposure or publicity. So to get up to Division One at the time was a big thing. So lads, people had worked hard for years for that to happen. So it was just a reward, not just for the people involved at that time, but from maybe many of the management teams and players who have been involved many years before that as well also.
Yeah, and have you feel that, like, so I mean obviously getting up into Division 1 is a great achievement and it was always going to be hard to stay there, but you feel like I suppose that my first question was a roundabout way of asking, have Kerry sustained that improvement over the last 2 years, say?
I think like when we got up to Division 1 in 2016 was our first year, wasn't it? Yeah. Look, we found it tough at times. Obviously, it was a big step up, but we put in a huge effort. Under Kieran Carey and Matt Foley put in a huge effort, and we were really compelling. And we beat Leash in the first game above in Port Leash, which was a huge win, considering it was our first game back in Division 1. And I know there was some couple of tough games after that, but we were really competitive against Limerick and a couple of our teams for 40 minutes in those games. So obviously it was going to be hard. Like in a county like Kerry, you don't have a large pick of players, so obviously sustaining anything like that over a long period of time against against maybe some of the top level counties is a little bit more difficult. So I think they have sustained it. I think, like, if you look at some of the hurlers now in Kerry, like Daniel Collins, Tom Moran, Brian Murphy and many more, like they're really serious guys about hurling, great leaders, and they work very hard. And they'd hold their own against a lot of players in any other county. So I think, and you have, should I say as well, you have a few more players also from the county who are playing maybe colleges hurling now, and they take their hurling a little bit more serious. So it's kind of a different setup and a lot better mentality. Like a lot of hurlers now in Kerry would have a lot more better, I suppose, top mentality towards hurling. And I think definitely they have sustained it. I think obviously it went down last year, but it is improving all the time. And you know, you're obviously going to have ups and downs. They always said that about Kerry hurling. You might take 2 steps forward, 1 step back sometimes. But like for what we have, and I think lads are working hard, and I think we are sustaining to the best. It's the best we can.
John, everyone assumes that it's tough for Kerry hurling to compete, but what are the challenges specifically that you met across a lengthy career?
I suppose at times there was a few things, like where I suppose was, you know, even we didn't always have every player available, made himself available for to play with Kerry, which was a little bit disappointing, because on any year we might have had the majority, but there was always a few hurlers who were good enough to play for Kerry who probably just didn't make themselves available, maybe out of interest and other reasons. Maybe they didn't think it was worthwhile enough, and that was one of the main things. And obviously, you know, we had probably a baby, and so on year on year, then we had also a bit of a turnover. Like we sometimes at level, you have to have a kind of a settled panel year after year to be able to build year on year, and we didn't have that at times, so it was quite difficult. So that was the big thing, and it was just, I think what has changed last year as well, I think lads have become a lot more committed, and you're getting bigger numbers of training now, they're a lot more professional, whereas a few years ago it was a challenge just to maybe to get lads commit fully and to do what was required to compete at that level. Maybe we were just doing, fellas were doing just about enough to get by, but not enough to really compete and to sustain ourselves at that level, and that has changed. So that was one of the big challenges. So I think we've overcome a lot of those challenges in the last years. And I think that we've had some really good guys who have come in with good, I suppose, good, great experience, who have kind of shown their, I suppose, given their experience and know how to carry hurling, and they've showed a bit of leadership and planning, and they come in for 2-3 year cycles. You need someone to come in who's going to come in with a real interest in developing hurling within the county and hurling at a top level, and we have had people who've come in and done that.
John, the idea behind this podcast is that we talk about, like, as we said, the so-called weaker counties. But I think this is the first in-depth conversation we've had with somebody from the possible so-called weaker sport within a strong county, if you know what I mean. So like the lesser of two sports, and obviously Kerry will always be football country and will always be a powerhouse there. Have like in 15 years, have you found one that, like, you know, the Kerry hurling is in any way kind of hampered by the success and how big and important football is? And also then, has that in any way changed or got better over the course of your 15-year career?
Well, obviously, look, I suppose every county has their own individual story to tell. Like, you'll have some perceived so-called stronger hurling counties, you've so-called stronger football counties. Kerry obviously was perceived as a stronger football county. I'm chairing a group at the moment, putting a plan in place for Kerry hurling, and you'd hope by the end of the plan or next year that hurling would be one of maybe even the second favourite sport of many children within the county. Like, wow. So look, it's just the way things are in Kerry. Like, there's many people in the county who love hurling, who went in for hurling. Hurling is the number one sport. Children, any child I know that has played hurling in Kerry loves playing hurling. But I suppose they get a little bit older, it gets a little bit more difficult because I suppose the pressure, external pressures, and maybe just busy with, I suppose they get so busy with at 16, 17 with exams and maybe the games program and other things, it gets quite difficult. And sometimes hurling can be maybe the one to lose out. I always make the example like of the Kerry minor footballers the last number of years. They've won the 3 or 4 in a row at this stage. But like, you had a lot of lads in that who would have, I remember coaching them at 12, 13, 14 when I worked as a GDA in the county. And I remember coaching them in primary school. Like, and they were all super hurlers, like the likes of Michal Byrne, there was Barry O'Sullivan from Dingle, and many, many more. But again, it just gets a bit more difficult. I mean, you want to compete at the top level, you really kind of have to really try to compete, I suppose, to nearly concentrate on one sport. Like, but again, like, we're doing our best in Kerry to promote hurling, like, and I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, John, there's loads to unpack in those last couple of minutes, but I'll start by asking you, you're chairing a group to help develop hurling in Kerry. What kind of specific things are you doing?
I suppose, I remember I was involved in the last one. I was working as a GDA, but I know Tim Murphy just rang me a few months ago, where I just to chair a group that would maybe just put a plan in place for a three-year plan in place, because I know that Kerry GAA are trying to put together a general strategic plan in place at the moment. I suppose in Kerry at the moment there's two hurling GDAs, Giles O'Grady covers North Kerry and Dave O'Dea covers South Kerry. So I see the tireless work the lads doing, it can be quite difficult at times. And I suppose the last few years there's been a new hurling club in Tralee Parnell, so that'll be kind of a central part of the plan where they go next over next few years. I suppose traditionally North Kerry would be seen as a stronger hurling area, but that still needs a lot of work over the next few years to consolidate that area and just make it stronger. And I suppose things are going a little more difficult in certain areas, in North Kerry as well, because of maybe playing numbers. So that's something we have to look at and see how we can cater for maybe certain clubs with maybe they might be struggling with numbers at certain age groups.
Yeah.
And obviously there's the South Kerry area as well. Like, maybe, I suppose, Killarney is another area we have to focus on, because for a town like the size of Killarney, it just needs a much work, and we need to probably plan for the future.
Yeah,
as well also.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago that some of the young Kerry footballers that are lining up the league these months, the likes of Burns and Co, that have won so many minor medals, minor All-Ireland medals, were great hurlers. Does it annoy you that they go play football? But secondly, is it understandable, because they have the allure of Sam Maguire and silverware?
Yeah, I suppose it is understandable. Like, you know, like, we have a few lads who have won all our minors last year, like Brandon Barris, Tomas O'Connor. I hope I don't forget him. You know, but they are playing hurling with the senior hurlers at the moment. Like, and they're mad for hurling, and they really enjoy it. And then they choose to play hurling at the moment. The rest of the lads who are probably playing football, it's quite difficult, because look, if you're whatever 16, 17, and you know, it's to maybe win an All-Ireland minor football in Croke Park and to have a chance to do that in All-Ireland final day, you know, you don't get chances like that in your lifetime. So obviously, you know, you can't blame anyone for choosing football over hurling. But a little bit disappointing, but you know, that's life, and I think that it doesn't annoy me one bit. Look, we're all lads can only do so much, and if they're talented at a number of sports, it's great. And I suppose when they get to that level, they kind of have to try and maybe focus on one, like, and you know, we have what we have as regards hurling, and we're trying to make the most of what we have. So yeah, 2091 Bit Looks, they've had a great success at minor level the last few years. So we can only do best what we have, and I think we're doing quite well. Like.
Yeah, you said you can't blame anyone. This is the part of the podcast where me and Mick blame the GAA, and you can agree or disagree. Because, like, so you have.
Well,
what I was going to say, John, was you've two things you mentioned there. Firstly, is the Kerry hurlers benefited greatly from competing at a high level in Division One, and secondly, you're losing guys to football because they're playing at a very high level. Yet, if you look at the structure of the new championship, Kerry are in the Joe McDonagh Cup, the second tier competition, and the winner of that competition, if they're not from Munster, i.e., if they're not Kerry, they get promoted straight to the Leinster Championship. But if Kerry win, they have to play a playoff against whoever finishes bottom of the Munster Championship to get the same promotion.
Yeah,
like that seems completely unfair.
It's completely unfair. But like, I suppose I used to work for the GAA, and I kind of love the GAA, but I suppose it annoys me at times that people can come to these decisions as well. Also, that you know. I just think, like, if you win the group, that you know you should be at the same par as any, as no matter who wins the group, this it should be the same outcome, and it shouldn't be any different for Kerry. And I know Fintan, as Kerry manager, and a few more weren't too happy over it. It doesn't make sense. I look at hurling and football. I think at times, well, also they're probably. I always make the point that. There are two national games, and they kind of seem to be pitted against each other sometimes in terms of maybe fixtures and other things. So that's something I think the GAA always has to look at as well. Also, but that's maybe something that I don't know. Can any individual county board fix? I think that you know again that are two national sports that probably any young person like there's people in certain areas in Ireland, particularly in Kerry. Who have never got the chance maybe to lift a hurley, which is it's disappointing. As I say, someone made the point to me, like, if you're in New Zealand and you're a child in New Zealand, they all probably get a chance to throw a rugby ball, whereas here in Ireland, you maybe, I think the majority, probably young people, probably get the chance to kick a football, but they don't get a chance maybe to hurl a hurley, and there's probably something very, very wrong with that. And I think there's always probably, we're afraid to kind of say it or to turn the blind eye to, but it's probably the sad reality, really. So at times the hurling and football, well, they should go hand in hand, and obviously as they get older, maybe at under 16 minor stuff, they might choose to play one sport and focus on one sport when it comes to maybe more at a higher level. But I think, you know, at a younger age group, they shouldn't be kind of have to pick one sport over the other. They should be given a chance to maybe sample both and obviously make their own choices down the line.
Yeah, it's a story we hear up and down the country, to be honest. And, like, I mean, it seems to me from everyone we've spoken to that the interest is continuously there from kids. Kids want to do it, kids want to play it, but there isn't either the expertise, the coaches, or maybe the willingness, I think, among a lot of county boards. Anyway, maybe Kerry is a bit better than most on that.
Yeah, well, like, I suppose I worked with the Kerry GAA for 4 years as a GD in South Kerry. Like, I remember certain clubs, maybe I was involved in setting up or maybe just trying to continue some of the work the GDA did before me, my former GDA did before me, and some of those clubs aren't there right now. They've come and gone because maybe there was the bodies weren't there to support the club. You might have had one person involved in the clubs, and they were doing all the work. And as the club grew, it probably got more difficult to sustain. And so basically, those one or two people in the clubs got kind of sick of it. Is there a willingness there to really develop hurling in some counties? There probably isn't. I think that sometimes there's a tendency again to turn a blind eye, like, because I was making the point, you know, if clubs are failing in some counties, something must be done to support them. Like, if a club was there 4 or 5 years ago and it's not there now, why did it fail? Why was it left fail so easily? I think those questions should be asked, and there should be some sort of a group in place in every county board that if a club starts to fail or starts to I suppose, starts to fall down, there should be a support group there, or someone there to support them or help them along the way. They shouldn't be just let fail and go like that. It's not a good reflection on the GA.
No, certainly not. I think it's something we'll probably come back to again and again, to be honest, because it's such a massive issue. But John, before we let you go, what do you make of the new system then, outside of obviously that Kerry issue, the Kerry specific issue?
I think I've probably said maybe a couple of months ago, I spoke to someone, I kind of thought it was, like, apart from that issue, I like the fact that we've got Kerry have, I like the Joe McDonough Cup from the game's point of view, like, on any given day, and I think it's a competition, Kerry have a realistic chance of winning, but it's also, on any given day, they could be beaten, so they'll have to be tuned in and ready for it. So I think Kerry, from a Kerry point of view, it'll be great for the development of players, it'd be fantastic for them to win, it'd be a great boost. I think it's good for them, and it's good competition for Kerry to be in, and I think just the standard will be very, very high, and will be very good. Obviously, it'd be fantastic. Kerry could make the step up eventually if they could get over next Sunday and get up to Division One again. To be fantastic, particularly for a lot of the young players within the squad at the moment. It's a very, very young squad at the moment. So it would be great if they could maybe get up to the higher divisions again and give Kerry that boost that they need. But like, I think it'll be from next Sunday, even that Joe McDonough Cup will be good for Kerry hurling. But obviously, it's not ideal that you're have to play the bottom team Munster because look.
Yeah,
you know, in hurling, it's very hard to make that. It takes light years to make. You know, people often that should carry be in the Munster Championship. They shouldn't, because we don't have the playing numbers, and it's very, again, very hard to sustain playing at that standard. We don't have the playing numbers. So again, we are where we are at the moment. It's good competition for Kerry. So it's good at the moment. Like, yeah. So
are you finding
again, it's good development for a lot of younger players.
Are you finding it hard to have a watching brief these days, John?
Since retiring,
yeah.
Finston, in fairness, is the manager. He'd have to ring me maybe once every couple of weeks, so we'd have a good chat. Like, but
I thought he was trying to bring you back. No,
I know he rang this afternoon when I've been getting involved in various capacities, but I think when they're retired, it's important to maybe take a little bit of a break from it. Like, I don't miss all the training, but I'd miss the game match days. I miss the camaraderie with the lads. I don't miss all the training, say, but I miss the lads. I miss around the lads. It's kind of like, people don't understand what it's like to be involved in that setup, particularly on match days. There's a great, I suppose, great spirit and other things there, and they become your teammates, become your friends, and I suppose you go through so much together, even before and after games, and it's very hard to kind of match that, as I say, in other areas of your life. So I do miss that, but I don't miss all the training. But look, I enjoyed it and had a good time out of it, but I suppose the time now, I kind of moved on, and maybe I'll enjoy over next year, maybe going back watching the games again, and hopefully, as I say, the lads can get back into Division One, and it can be really successful again. Things have really improved, and things are really positive at the moment. So look, it's a good time to be in Kerry hurlers. I think standards have got higher. Things that set up is a lot more professional, and lads are taking their hurling a lot more serious.
Well, that's great to hear how positive things are. For those lads to have something to look up to, it'd be nice to have Division 1 hurling again. What do you reckon about this Sunday then? Westmead have won all their games, but like, if you even look at the points difference, they haven't been dominating at all.
No, I think they've got over the line, but like, I think the league sometimes is just about kind of getting results at this time of year. It's going to be tough. Look, I think every year after year, Kerry knows, Carlo, Westmeath of this world, you're always going to get tough games, and we're always fairly evenly matched. You might beat them 1 year, they might come back and beat you the year after. We beat them up there last year in a tight enough game in the end. So, and they seem to be a little bit more of a pep in their step this year, Westmeath. So it's going to be tough, and the lads know that. But you know what? Look, going up to Westmeath, the last game that you need to win, look, it'll hopefully give lads that bit of an edge, and look, some of the lads that will enjoy that kind of, it's like a championship game this Sunday. And look, they'll have their work done the last few weeks, and they'll be prepared for it. And I know Kerry as well, they've had probably a few players back. I'd say they have nearly a full panel to pick from, but they have a lot of work done, as I say, the last few weeks to prepare for this. So they'll be ready. So hopefully, they can just get that performance they're looking for on the day. Like I know a lot of the Westmeath lads were playing, maybe were involved in the Fitzgibbon Cup, which was a DCU or one of the Dublin colleges. So and they've always produced some excellent hurlers. If you give their forwards opportunities, they'll take them. They're physical. They're and they're just some excellent hurlers, really, in all parts of the field. So it's going to be tough, but look, all lads, I look forward to it. It'll be a good challenge, and fingers crossed they can just get over the line. Get over the line. That's all you need to do. It's no matter what you win by, just that you can just get over the line. That's all.
Yeah. Well, we wish them luck, and we'll be watching out for them as the season goes on, even the years go on. John Tweet Griffin, thanks so much for taking the call.
Thank you. No problem. No problem.
Right, I'm looking forward to that. Now, it's a massive, pretty big crowd there, I'd imagine, on Sunday as well, because it's a double header with Westmeath and Kerry being followed by Westmeath hosting Fermanagh in Division 3, which is a massive game we'll get to in a while. So hopefully there's a big crowd at that. Like I'd like to see it.
Can you now, for the humble football man, can you explain to me the way these things work now down the divisions in the hurling divisions? What do you need to do to get promoted from each division? There's playoffs, I believe. There's quarterfinals, obviously, in Division 1, which is the most ridiculous concept in the world. But aside from that, what's the story?
Well, the quarterfinals in Division 1, I think we can all agree, is just an extra round of games, you know, in a flawed system. And that's probably why they do it. So in, let's just say, Division 1B, they have changed this now. So it's not a case of what, like John was talking about there, where Kerry got promoted or won Division 2 but didn't get promoted because they played awfully in a playoff game. That's gone. So what happens now is if you get the bottom two in Division 1B play off against each other in a relegation playoff, same as they do in 1A. Top two teams in the league in 2A play each other in a playoff. Winner gets promoted. Easily enough so far. In terms of relegation, it gets a little bit more complicated here because the whoever finishes bottom of Division 2A of the hurling just gets relegated. So that means that Kildare versus London this weekend becomes a de facto playoff because they're both on 0 points. So there's no playoff there other than this, as I said, de facto one. Division 2B, same thing in terms of promotion. Top two teams play each other in a playoff and one of them goes up. Bottom two teams also play each other in a playoff.
Wait, no, sorry. If the top, so two teams go down in Division 2A.
No. Only one team go down. Yeah. Sorry, but what I'm saying is there's no playoff. They play each other anyway this weekend, and Kildare and London. So the loser goes down to Division 2B. In 2B, the top two teams who are at the moment Mayo and Down. And Mayo's an unbelievable story there with 4 wins from 4.
Mayo are also playing down this weekend.
Yeah, and Mayo are guaranteed a place in the league final because of that. Down aren't. Wicklow and Donegal could catch them.
And is the winner of that league final
although
go
it's
up?
Unlikely. Yeah.
Okay.
So Mayo could very, very, very conceivably be in Division 2A next year. The bottom two teams, which at the moment are Armagh and Derry, who are on 0 points, amazingly, will slip into the will play off. So that's what's confusing about it. And so on in Division 3.
Just amazingly as well, Donegal, just when we're on Division 2B, Donegal are pretty much, like, if they can beat Armagh, or not even, like, I suppose just try and keep it because of the score difference, although it might go to head-to-head. Like, if they can get a result there, they're guaranteed safety then for Division 2A next year, which is unbelievable. Sorry, Division 2B.
Well, if they beat Armagh, they will, because they're already 2 points ahead of them.
Yeah, sorry, I meant if they can, if they get a result, they're guaranteed, but I'm not sure if it's head-to-head or if it's score difference then, because they're minus 27 and Donegal are plus one at the minute.
Yeah, so they had a huge win. They beat Down, who were 3 from 3. They beat them by 3 points a couple of weeks ago. So that's just an incredible result. And I think promotion's probably a little bit beyond them. If we look at that, it looks like Mayo and Down are going to play each other 2 weeks in a row, with Mayo getting home advantage the next. Oh, well, I suppose it depends on this week's result. But Down's points difference would suggest that neither Wicklow nor Donegal can catch them unless there's some big results there. But Mayo guaranteed a league final, which is kind of amazing. And then in 2A, as we talked about, the one team we haven't really mentioned is Carlow, who are all Westmeath are on 8 points, Kerry are on 6 points, Carlow are on 6 points, Meath are on 4 points. Meath host Carlow this weekend. If Carlow win, I can't see they're going to be in the final because they have a 10-point gap to make up on Kerry. who could,
which they could well do. Like, I mean,
they could well do. If one team wins and the other team loses, you think that that might happen. And Westmeath have the worst points difference of them all. So if Kerry beat Westmeath, Westmeath are, and Carlo win, Westmeath will be out.
Just
so,
for reference as well. Confusing. Yeah, the other thing is if you look at it, if you look at it, Carlo were playing Meath last week or 2 weeks ago. Kerry played Meath and beat them by 16 points.
Yeah.
So,
but until then, Meath were good because Meath only lost by a last second point, as we talked about, to Westmeath. Yeah. So it's all over.
It's open. It's all open.
We all agree that regardless of who gets promoted and who gets relegated, hurling is the real winner.
As always, Gav. As always.
Gavin sounds like he'd rather be talking about Division 1 here to me, Mark. But,
well, hurling is hurling is hurling.
Although I think Gavin would rather talk about Division 3, where his, unfortunately, Longford have been relegated, having lost 5-7 to 4-17 to Loud in one of those.
Yeah.
A brilliant Division 3 game, I would say.
That's the one that confused BBC Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Warwickshire, like, as good as certain to be in a final against Roscommon, Loud or Tyrone. We'll see how that goes. Monaghan and Tyrone battling it out to see who joins. Actually, to be honest, in 3A, I think Longford are just relegated on their own. There's no playoffs, isn't it? Yeah, so that's at the end of that. And, Mark, Lancashire guaranteed playoff for promotion in Division 3B. No surprise there. But we talked about a huge game between Cavan and Fermanagh on the show a couple of weeks ago. It was a battle for the worst team in Ireland. You dismissed Cavan's chances. Gavin Cooney stood up here and said, "Will they do it, Mark?" And you said, "They won't."
I said, "I don't think
so. No chance."
I'd like to clarify this now, right? I need to set the record straight. Some people might say that what I did there was that I just kind of absentmindedly predicted for Fermanagh win. You know, Cavan's first year back in the league, completely forgot about the fact that the Cavan beat Fermanagh in the Laurie Mara Cup last year by, I think, 16 points, perhaps. Some people might argue that, but what actually happened was that I knew full well the Cavan were capable of beating Fermanagh, and I decided to, what would you call it? Do a bit of reverse psychology, you know, get a bit of dressing room wall material. I said, I'm going to do my part for Cavan GAA. I'm going to egg these lads on by predicting a Fermanagh win. I'm sure they were in the dressing rooms before the match going, that Mark Farley fella is after predicting that Cavan are going to lose this game. We'll show him. We'll stick it to him.
When you were in Cavan development squads growing up and dreaming of playing for Cavan, did you ever imagine that this would be your finest contribution?
Well, if I was in development squads, I would, but unfortunately I didn't even make it that
far. Were you not? Oh, sorry.
I got called up to one and then was too afraid to go.
But why were you too afraid to go?
I don't know. Just didn't have the confidence. But anyway, as one of the lads to text me saying, to point this out, he goes, how, before the game, to be fair, as well, so he predicted Cavan win, obviously. He said, how in the name of God could you predict Fermanagh to beat Cavan? Cavan have two hurling clubs, Fermanagh have one. It's simple maths, if nothing else.
They're twice as good.
Do you know, I was called up to, I was supposed to go on trials for a Dublin underage hurling team once, and five of us met at our club, and we were supposed to have a lift down to the game, and our lift never showed up.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah,
oh,
my God. We stood around pucking the ball up against the wall and outside the clubhouse for about 2 hours.
Robbed you of a dream.
I wouldn't have made it anyway, for sure. Like, you know, at least I would have been at Dublin training. Yeah, Pat Gilroy. What would he know about her?
It was Conor Callaghan's father trying to, like, you know, sabotage everybody else.
Right, so that's the lower lived divisions of the hurling. We'll talk about 1B.
Nobody counted us in all year. The media.
Where did this ferocious determination out there today come from?
The media.
And we've got some football to talk about as well, because we've got Division 3, Mark. Division where three there's still the then. Still my dream is possible of having 8 Leinster teams in it next year, because Armagh and Fermanagh are top, having won all their games. Wexford and Offaly are not doing their part in staying up at the moment. But they are playing each other this weekend.
Division 3, of course, where there are more Leinster teams in Division 3 than there are in Division 4.
That's what I'm saying. It could be 8 teams next year. Like, yeah.
Someone might want to tell RTÉ that.
This is a brilliant division. Absolutely brilliant. So
I love Division 3.
I think possibly outside of Division 2 and 4, this could be my favourite division.
Armagh are top, having won all their games. Fermanagh are top, having won all their games. Longford and Westmeath have only lost to Armagh. Mm. Now they come up against Fermanagh, and that's where we see what happens, right? So Westmeath are playing Fermanagh this weekend, as I mentioned. That's a huge game. Armagh are playing poor old Derry, who are in serious threat of relegation.
They are, but this is also going to throw a spanner in the works, a huge spanner in the works. Derry now will have their Slot Neil players back. So Derry could throw a spanner in the works, to borrow a phrase I used earlier in the sentence, with the last couple of games.
Will the Derry Hurlers have any Slot-Neil players back? Because they're bottom of, they're going into Division 3 of the hurling and they're in the All-Ireland semi-finals and nearly winning them in club championship. It's bananas.
Yeah. I don't know. I just,
well, sure, most of them play for the football team, I suppose. Yeah. Like, but you heard, like, Chrissy McHaig was talking about this last week, I think, on RTE, and he's talking about, like, the fact that they are just absolutely wrecked getting on to
for two players to
play on two teams that are getting as far as All Ireland semi-finals. It just takes too much out of you, I guess. Like, and they all have to come back in now, fall into especially the footballers going. You're going into like some negative momentum here, you know, and a trip to Armagh on Saturday night, and it's like, that's hard to big yourself up for if you're already wrecked. Like,
without doubt. But I still think that the might, like, even if they only pick up a result or a draw somewhere, it could really impact on promotion. And obviously, they're trying to fight to not get relegated.
Yeah.
Like, they are in danger of being relegated there, because either Wexford or Offaly will finally pick up a point here. And then it's Derry and Sligo on two. It's Derry, like, I mean, it doesn't get any tougher in that division than an away game to Armagh. So, God, imagine if they turned to Division 4. Goodness.
I think they will get out of it, but it's just, it hasn't been great, really, you know. Division 2.
Yup, yeah, boy, yeah.
Another very interesting thing. Gavin, you and the accumulator last week.
We derided Mark Farley for talking down Cavan, but of my four picks, I got three right. The one I got wrong was I predicted the Cork would beat Cavan on the beach in Porky Cueve, and they didn't. Cavan won.
We'll fight them on the beaches, said Batty McLean. Fantastic beaches at that. Top class. They were class beaches, which is, he said, that was his Winston Churchill quote, but I believe some of that was also Matty's.
Yeah, so Cavan, I mean,
Matty taking
Cork
credit for the Oscar at the weekend.
I don't know whether Cork or Cavan let me down there, but the game at last went awry. But now Cavan are 2 points clear at the top of Division 2. They're almost back in the big time.
Yeah, they are. But, the odds. Let's like down scuppered our chances of getting promoted from Division 2 a couple of years ago. We should have beaten them. Someone managed to lose to them, get African Man sent off. And also, we still have to play Roscommon. And as you know, Cavan cannot beat Roscommon. It has never happened and will never happen. So I'm still very worried.
I think Cavan will beat down this weekend, though, I have to say.
Yeah, hopefully.
Are Meath in danger of going down?
Me and Mark were talking about this earlier. So Meath have dropped now to 7th and in the relegation zone with 3 points. It's incredibly tight, though, because one win and Tipperary are in 2nd place have 5 points. But, you know, like, there's so much could happen here. Like, I mean, Meath or Cork, whoever loses that game on Sunday, it's like an old All-Ireland final, one of the biggest rivalries in the history of football, and they're kind of playing each other. One of them's going to be in trouble of dropping down to Division 3 here, like, you know.
Because, as you were saying, Clare have every chance of beating Roscommon in Clare.
Yeah, and Clare still have Louth to play.
So Clare now all of a sudden could be in the promotion race.
Yeah, Clare have Louth to play and Meath have Louth to play. That's the one thing I would say. That's what makes me think Cork could be in a little bit of trouble. And I hate to talk about Louth this way, because it is sad for a team that's come up that are like such whipping boys that they're basically 2 points for a team. They go up against them and maybe they'll prove us wrong and they'll go and beat someone. But their result,
they might have a bit of a kick against Meath, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. They owed them one for sure, and they always will. But they lost 121 to 12 points at home to Roscommon at the weekend. Like, it's not great to see a team like, obviously, you know, sometimes you get into Division 2 and it's too much for you. It's not good to see them so far out of their depth, you know, so that's kind of sad. But that division is spectacular at the moment. Clare got absolutely hammered to Meath. And other than that, they beat down away. You know, it was only by 2 points in the end, but they were kind of ahead for the whole game. And they had two draws with Cavan and Tipperary, two games in which they could have won. Like, so other than that Meath apparition, like, Clare have been very impressive. And, you know, they've got suspensions and nonsense suspensions out the wazoo, but that's another conversation for another day. But so they play Roscommon, Tipperary play Louth. That's, you would imagine, 2 points for them. You think Cavan beat down, and hopefully, I would imagine next week with two games to go, we'll have a bit of a clearer picture as to who's looking over their shoulder and who's trying to get up.
Cavan can beat down, I think you're looking
they're up by as far as I can see.
It'd have to be. I mean, it'd take a lot for them, because Tipperary and Roscommon, they'd have to both pick up pretty much full points from here on out.
Yeah. So that's the confusing Division 2. A lot of confusing divisions now. We'll be out of the league soon. We'll be into just straight knockout games, and we can talk about like development squads and counties and all like that. And there'll be less numbers in the podcast in the next couple of weeks. We'll be done with them in the hurling now after this. But the very last one we have to talk about is in Division 1B of the hurling. Limerick and Galway is arguably the biggest hurling game of the weekend, because Limerick are going on their endless quest to get out of Division 1B, and they come up against the Leinster League and All Ireland champions this week. But we won't talk about that because, you know, that's
there is no competition on earth where it makes sense that the league champions aren't even in the top division of the league, which they are champions of.
No, it doesn't make any
sense. It's like saying, oh, well, you know, congratulations to Bristol City, they are the Premier League champions for 2017-2018, despite
putting Man City in the championship. That's what it is. You've got it the wrong way around.
Put Man City in the championship, let them win the championship, but keep them in the championship next season, but declare them Premier League champions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. I'm definitely not going around defending this system. It's stupid. But, like, Galway are league champions and basically lost to Wexford on, like, a cold February day last year. And because of that, they don't get promoted. You know, but they won every other game that they played for the entire rest of 2017. You know, so, look, that's the way things are. Limerick Galway this week isn't exactly where we need to be focusing our attention. Where we need to be focusing our attention is Laois versus Dublin. Dublin, who were in a puck of the ball away from the All-Ireland final 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, are possibly in danger of slipping into Division 2 because they had a much better performance against Galway, actually only losing by 6 points, beat the spread, importantly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they play Laois. Both of those teams on 2 points. Whoever loses is in a relegation playoff with Antrim. And we know that Dublin only squeezed by Antrim already this year, you know. So that's probably the game. That's like, arguably, that's a more important game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and also, I'm looking forward to then we'll have the quarterfinal fixtures, obviously, after this weekend. And it'd be good to get a look at these other teams, you know, that you mightn't see all that often. Your Corks, your Clares, your Wexfords, your Kilkennys.
Nah.
I mean, I don't know what's going on there. I presume there's great work being done in all those counties, and it'll be nice for them to get those big games. You know, it'll be a big day out for them counties, so it'll be nice to see that.
Yeah, it'd be great to see. Yeah, so that's where the hurling is. Actually, Offaly, who we started off this podcast, our first guest, I think, was Dottie Regan.
It was.
They beat Laois well. They've 2 wins. They play Antrim this week. You'd imagine they'll win. They'll end up with 6 points, 3 wins. They won't get promoted, but that's a big step forward.
It's an interesting league, isn't it? Like a roller coaster of emotions for Offaly fans. And then you look back, you know, that's kind of what we expected.
Yeah, well, I suppose a bit better than they expected. They lost to Galway and Limerick. You would expect that. They beat everybody else. That's the level they're at. That's pretty impressive. So that's where we are with that.
The impression of the game, you get all of it, what you put into. It's like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you?
Not too much time to go. We do have an accumulator, though. We're 0-2 so far. I've had a go. I've had 2 goes. We didn't count the first one. Gavin's had a go. Very close. Underestimated Gavin.
I'm Mark. Very confident this one, and it's bigger odds than either of yours. I have 2 options here. I've got a risky one that I'm not going to go with, but I'm just going to present it there for anyone who wants it. But I've got a 4-team one, first of all, right? Wexford to
beat. Say, the one you're reading now, this is the one that will definitely 100% land.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to add on one on to the end. So Wexford to beat Offaly in the football is evens. Both needing a win there, but I think that there's more in Wexford.
Our friend of the show won't be too happy.
I disagree. I think Offaly are going to win that. Well, you're wrong now, but anyway, go ahead.
Right, so we got Wexford to beat Offaly at evens. I think they're good odds as well. Waterford +2 against Limerick at 5-6. So Limerick, who are bottom of Division 4.
Yeah, and so are Waterford. They've got 1 point each.
Yes, but Limerick on -24, Waterford on -15. So I like, I mean, Limerick might win that game, but I think it'll be tight. Also, judging by the lads' match report, the Waterford were decent enough against Carlow, only lost by 3 points.
Yeah.
Then in the hurling, we've got Antrim plus 7 against Offaly.
Oh.
So Antrim got an absolute scutching against Limerick. After me pointed out how they were only on, I think it was minus 9 score difference going into that great game. They lost 321 to 13.
Yeah.
But I do think they're a better team than that. So I think the plus 7 is a decent on the handicap. It's evens as well against Offaly. And then finally, we have got Armagh against Derry, just straight up on that 4-11 Armagh to win. Like I said, Derry, you probably could go on the handicap there if you wanted to be a bit braver, but because they've got the Slotting players back, Derry could be a force and local derby and all that. Then, so that's that comes in at 9-1 overall.
So that's Derry to beat Armagh?
No, Armagh to beat Derry. Sorry. But I've just gone straight up, no handicap there. So you've got Wexford to beat Offaly straight up, Waterford plus 2 against Limerick, Antrim plus 7 against Offaly in the hurling, and Armagh versus Derry, Armagh to win in football. And then your fifth bet, if you're very froggy, is Donegal to beat Tyrone. In Division fuck
Division 2A.
No, it's 1A. I just remembered that game.
You're not allowed to have that. Yeah. Right, well, sure, look, we leave all this in then, Mark, and just say that there's no fifth bet because you're concentrating on those. You should look, you don't know anything about Division 1. What's the point?
I know, but it just looks very good
indeed,
odds.
Or indeed, Division fuck, as it is.
Well, look, if you're taking a punt in the dark, knowing nothing about either of these teams, I saw Donegal have a nice new away jersey. It's green and it's gold. It's a very nice jersey, and they're 5-4 to beat Tyrone. So if you wanted to take a punt on them, maybe do.
Right, well, what's the first one work out as?
First one's 9-1. Second one is 21.5-1.
Well, the second one doesn't count because it counts Division 1, of which we only have time to really briefly run through again. I don't know what's happening in there. I mean, I know, as you mentioned, some of the Corks and the Tipperaries and stuff. We might see more of them later in the Championship, yep, in the hurling. But what about the football, Mark? Is there anything going
football,
on Division 1?
If you look at it, there's a lot of, you'd find a lot of Ulster teams there in the football, Mick. And, you know, like, I mean, they're really stuck there. They can't seem, you've got Monaghan and these people who've been there for ages and Tyrone, and they can't seem to get out of it. And, like, I mean, if you look at it, Antrim are just going to, like, they haven't a hope in Division 4 or any of the other clubs. It's only really Antrim there that have a chance.
All right, okay.
Because they're not
we're
even
out of
in
time,
the Division.
We're out of time. Sorry, listen, we will try and talk about more Division. Would you have something?
No, I was just going to say Kildare and Mayo will be a tight game. Obviously, Kildare missing Johnny Doyle, so might not get enough scores.
Is Liam McHale back for Mayo?
I don't know.
No? Okay. Right. Kieran McDonald, I think, will be the difference there. I'd say Mayo could win that easily, to be honest. Mick O'Dwyer still managing Kildare? He always has them ready.
He always has. He just have them running. I'd say he has them running around the curragh now this week. Getting ready for it.
Dwyer,
say there was no snow. It wasn't snowed off in Kildare. They were up and running at the crack of dawn with a fray in them.
We never heard anything out of Kildare football before Mick. So, like, you know, that's all we know. We're out of time. I think the thing I will remember most from this podcast is that Julian, now on the UTV, once gave GEA results on UTV in 1981. We'll see you next week.
But now on the UTV at the Rovers New Year's party, there's a wee bit of tension about Shelley's dress. And on top of that, Liz McDonald is modelling a backless wee number that an 18-year-old would wear during the 12th fortnight in Magaluf. So we all know what awaits her in 2005. Pleurisy. Stay with us for Coronation Street. But now on the UTV...
The Sunday evening sport results. And we begin as usual with a look at today's GAA result.
But now in the UTV, why is it that some girls just don't realise that once a lying, cheating, two-timing bigamist, always a lying, cheating, two-timing bigamist. But now in the UTV...
McKenna Cup semi-final. Antrim 2-10, down 1-9.
But now in the UTV...
And first that shock defeat of newly crowned Ulster champions Down in the McKenna Cup semi-final at Casement Park.
But now in the UTV...
They were well beaten by Antrim after taking the gamble of resting three of their key players.
But now in the UTV...
Down couldn't compete with Antrim's strong midfield.
But now in the UTV...
The goals that clinched victory came in the second half from Mick Cunningham and Kevin Goff. Antrim meet Armagh in the final.
But now in the UTV.
But now in the UTV.
But now in the UTV.